Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Last flood warning out there. Be careful, people. So now if it gets windy, look out for trees. Is that what you're saying over there, Dr. Doom?
It's the way that happens. Once the ground gets saturated and the root structure can come up out of the ground when the wind blows, your heavy trees, your top heavy trees.
What about trees with a root system in sand, like out in Vegas?
Furman's probably out there sitting on his balcony just watching the sunset about now.
Todd Furman joins us now. What's up, man? How are you?
We got a little time before the sun sets out here. It's still not the middle of winter, and we don't have a whole lot of trees. I mean, there's some bushes and that sort of thing, but nothing like the tall oak trees I grew up with that surrounded my lovely neighborhood in Chicago.
Tell me about your decision to move to Vegas. How did that all come about? How did that happen?
I mean, I'd always been intrigued by the gambling industry ever since I was a little kid, probably 8 or 9. I was filling out office pools with my dad. He used to flip me the newspaper early Sunday morning. We'd go to hockey practice. I'd go through the games in the NFL, circle what team I liked. He would take the other side. We'd alternate back and forth. That kind of manifested into me finding a bookie in junior high that I could bet $5 and $10 a game with. And the rest is all history. It was a fortuitous bounce, though, to end up out here. It turns out my aunt actually met the president, who's now still currently the president, of Caesar's Palace while on safari in Africa. She said, my nephew's very interested in the gaming industry. Would you take a look at his resume? Moved out here, started working in casino finance, and did everything I possibly could in terms of shadowing, asking all sorts of dumb questions on weekends on my own time to kind of learn the race and sports side where I ultimately wanted to be.
Mom, Dad, I'm moving to Vegas. I'm going to get in the gaming industry.
Yeah, you know what the thing about it? My parents were pretty supportive right from the start. I mean, they'd seen me gamble in Chicago and knew I was going to be able to try and get my action down one way or another, whereas most folks would be apprehensive. They said, hey, we trust your judgment. You went off on your own to boarding school, didn't make an ass of yourself there or at college, all being relative, of course. And, 12 years later or thereabouts, I think it's worked out pretty well when it comes to sports gambling and how mainstream it's become, something I never would have dreamed of when I was 18 years old or 19 as a college freshman.
It's funny. You've been coming on 3HL for 9 years. I don't think I've ever asked you that question. I don't even know.
I can't believe it's been that long. That's kind of crazy when you think about it and put it in perspective that every Wednesday about this time, or of course a little bit earlier before we adjusted the schedule, that we've gotten to spend quality time together talking about all things sports wagering.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. I saw that no touchdown would have gotten 500-1 odds. Is that right? And it almost happened.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice little payday there for if you had the foresight to see that happening when the game headed into the fourth quarter, tied at 3. I don't think anybody expected it to be that defensive-minded. Professional bettors did bet the first quarter, first half, and full game under, but I think a lot of people were stunned by the Rams' inability to adjust and how good the Patriots' defense was. Pretty incredible, guys, since that was supposed to be the weak unit on that team. They gave up a grand total of 7 points in the first half of 3 playoff games against the Chiefs, Chargers, and Rams. You got to tip your hat to Bill Belichick and what he was able to do, once again showing that the sum of his parts is greater than any individual.
Did FanDuel really lose $5 million?
That's what they say. I mean, I'm not quite sure what they had for props or 6 or 7 figure wagers out there. Yeah. The entire state of New Jersey lost a little less than $5 million on about $35 million in handle. Now, it's important to note that futures didn't represent nearly as large a portion of their business like it does in Nevada, and that's typically what props up the Super Bowl numbers, whereas we saw numbers in this state down about 10% in terms of overall dollars wagered, win, though, up substantially year over year from where it was last season.
What do you think about the whole Gladys Knight thing?
I think it's always interesting. Anytime you decide to dip your toes into the offshore world, you're kind of at the mercy of the bookmakers. But I think some of the shops, betonline.ag, did the right thing. They said they were a little bit confusing on the stipulation, so they were going to pay both sides. Some books said, hey, we're only going to honor until you get to the end of one brave. It's always interesting. When it's not black and white, you're going to leave yourself open to interpretation. And I think that's just kind of indicative of what we've typically seen for some of these entertainment and novelty props.
How much was this Super Bowl bet volume-wise total compared to others?
Yeah, I mean, we've continued to break records statewide for a couple of years in a row. So to put in perspective, the Super Bowl between New England and Philadelphia did $160 million. This one was more in that $145 million range. And while it's not alarming to see a drop-off there when you consider you have other legal jurisdictions that are out there, not only New Jersey, but Delaware, Mississippi, and some other states that probably took away some of the business volumes that you were going to see. And you combine that with Patriots fatigue, it just didn't create that same allure that it might have if we had two fresh combatants in here, potentially with the Saints and Chiefs.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. Todd, where is Anthony Davis going to end up?
I actually think he's going to finish the season out as a member of the Pelicans. I'd be surprised if he moves before tomorrow's deadline. And at the beginning of next season, wouldn't shock me at all if he's in Boston, knowing all the assets they have at their disposal.
Yeah.
I know his dad came out and said, no, I don't want my son playing there, which could be the NBA trying to manipulate this deal and make sure he gets to L.A. right alongside LeBron. But I think what was really interesting about some of Davis's comments, he didn't rule out a small market like Milwaukee, and I think that's a credit to what Giannis has done there and how talented a team that continues to fly under the radar Mike Budenholzer has, playing for that number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
What does the NBA Eastern Conference look like moving forward? Tobias Harris going to Philly.
Yeah, a little bit of a muddled picture there. Essentially, you have four teams that have kind of distanced themselves from the field. You mentioned the Tobias Harris deal. I think the 76ers gave up an awful lot because I'm not sure that's the piece that can put them over the top and allow them to win the East. But you essentially right now, the Celtics are the favorite at 2-1. You have the Raptors and 76ers right behind them at 5-2, and the Bucks at 3-1. So all four of those teams kind of group tightly together. I'm not sure there's another team anywhere in the mix that can come from off the pace. That's really where all the drama is, because coming out of the East, you get the right to be the sacrificial lamb at the hands of the Golden State Warriors.
You mentioned the Celtics. Where do you think Kyrie Irving is next year? And then after that, I will ask you Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, our friend Dave Mason from Bet Online hung odds, and he made Kyrie a 3-2 shot to end up as a member of the New York Knicks. If you don't think Kyrie's going to go there, you can put up $2 to make a dollar coming back. Durant, a little bit more of a long shot, also from Bet Online. Durant, 2-1 to join the Knicks. Put up $3 to make one that he won't be there. I think the Knicks had to have something in mind as far as a master plan was concerned. When you move Kristaps Porzingis, you get expiring contracts of Wesley Matthews and DeAndre Jordan. And the irony is that you get Dennis Smith, who the Knicks could have drafted and actually had him in camp if they coveted him so much. But you do have a young backcourt with Smith and Knox. Now you have to go out there and take advantage of that $75 million in cap space to bring in two max free agents, assuming they want to play for one of the most dysfunctional franchises, not only in the NBA, but maybe all the four major sports.
What do the NHL futures look like, Todd? Obviously, Tampa, the best team at this point. But Preds, I think, fourth in the West now?
Yeah, Tampa's really kind of separated themselves. Interesting, though, when you look at Tampa and the road they would have to go through, arguably the toughest, because they could theoretically have to play the likes of a Boston and Toronto just to get out of their division before taking on the winner of the Metro. When you look at the Western Conference, I think that's a little bit more head-scratching. The Preds' odds have actually fallen behind Winnipeg. I think there's finally some value in Nashville. Those two teams, the only ones in single digits, by virtue of the proximity, even though they kind of gone through a power outage up until last night and beating the Lightning. The Golden Knights odds look like they're right at 10-1. And the Flames, that's the team that you probably wanted a piece of early in the season. They were upwards of 50 or 60-1. They're right now sitting in that 10-1 range. Pretty impressive what they've been able to put together after a goalie change relying on Rittich between the pipes.
How you feeling about the Daytona 500? Because, man, it's coming.
Been one of the more unpredictable races, Mickey, as you know all too well. What is it, 9 years, nine different winners in each of the last 2 years? Kurt Busch and Austin Dillon have only led one lap apiece. I mean, we got the clash this weekend to kind of wet our beaks for the NASCAR season. For me, I know Daytona is essentially the Super Bowl of the sport. From a betting standpoint, it's an absolute nightmare. I'm very curious to see how the modifications will look when we go to Atlanta the second week of the season, knowing how tire wear plays a massive role, and we have all of NASCAR goes west with Phoenix, Vegas, and, of course, Fontana.
Are there any odds that Art Briles coaches again? Because people just keep trying.
I mean, it's kind of discouraging. I mean, for me, I know I tweeted about it the other day, that if college athletics are going to open up that Pandora's box and allow Art to be around men aged 18 to 22. You know, sure, if you want to bring him in a consulting capacity, I understand his offensive brilliance, but what he did at the Baylor program and what he tried to sweep under the rug, no program anywhere in Division I should be able to hire him. And I think if the NCAA sees this as a trend that's continuing, it's rather discouraging for the entire governing body that says all they want to do is pride themselves on integrity. I think Art's still a long shot. I ultimately believe or would like to think that any program operating at the FBS level would get backlash from their boosters, even with an appetite to win, that Art wouldn't be the man they'd let represent their program.
At Todd Furman on Twitter, Bet the Board Podcast, at Bet the Board Pod. Todd, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk with you next week. Maybe work in some baseball, pitchers and catchers next week.
Plenty of time for futures, but get excited. We got football this weekend, the American, whatever it is, the Alliance Football League. I mean, all sorts of those college all-stars. We never knew where they landed. Plenty of football to wager, and I'm curious to see how Select to handle some of those particular points, Brett.
I mean, Zach Mettenberger got beat out by Christian Hackenberg for the Memphis quarterback job. We know that.
Not exactly ideal, but, I mean, it's really going to become a who's who of some of these SEC guys. Good to see Josh Johnson getting work, though, because Clinton Portis believed he was going to be an NFL starting quarterback for the Redskins. All of a sudden, he finds work in the Alliance of American Football. I'm interested, guys, to see what kind of limits these sports books will take. I have to think these prices will move as volatilely as we've seen in the Arena League, which, to my knowledge, apparently only has four teams these days.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Pod.
Always a pleasure,
Pod.
Boy.
Todd.
Todd's Pod.
Todd's Pod. Yes. Thank you, Todd.